We are continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality. Achieving an alien mentality. We have several visitors, so just by way of review, just kind of quickly go over exactly what we're talking about. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter, speaking by the unction of the Holy Spirit, says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." In 1 Peter 1, verse 1, he said, "To those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and so forth." He refers to, the Holy Spirit refers to the people of God as aliens and strangers. And so we're in the midst of discovering what that is, and then how to have a mentality that lets us know that we are aliens and that we are foreigners and strangers. So the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, chose the words aliens, chose the word strangers, and in Hebrews 11:13, chose two other different words, strangers and exiles. So you put all that together, we're aliens. If you're born again, you're a child of God, you're a Christian. In this world, you are an alien or a foreigner, a stranger, a temporary resident, an exile, or an outsider. You can pick whichever one you want out of that. But that's who we are. And all of those terms mean that this world is not where we belong. We're just passing through. That's where you get the words. In King James, you use the word pilgrims. We're just passing through. That's why the word temporary resident. We are a resident here, but it's just temporary. The definition of the word stranger in the Greek means literally alongside the house. And again, for those who are visiting, the house, those inside the house, are those who are not saved, are those who belong to this world. This world is everything to those who are not saved. That's why when money goes down, people commit suicide. Or when things go wrong, people go to kill, because this world is everything. Thank God for us, this world is just temporary. Amen. Our everything is an eternity. Yes. We're going through this, and eventually we're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we are living alongside the house of those who are in the house. Those in the house are those who are not saved. Those outside the house, but alongside the house, are those who are Christians. Remember, we're alongside the house because we don't think as they think. We're not supposed to speak as they speak. We're not supposed to do as they do. Our living, and that's where the word sanctified comes from, is to be separate, set apart, other than. Our thinking, speaking, and doing is to be separate, set apart, other than. We know that word of being sanctified. That's what a saint is. The old school black folk, you know, everybody would call them, refer to everybody as saints. But that word comes from there about, yeah, you're supposed to be separate and apart. That's what holiness is. It's not just a title. There's too much hypocrisy in the land of the people of God, beginning in the pulpit, as far as hypocrisy. We are putting up one face, while behind the mask there's really something else going on. We've turned into Langston Hughes' poem. We wear the mask that grins and lies, hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. It's not what we're supposed to do. That's the word hypocrisy in the Greek. It's to wear the mask. The mask says a smile, but behind there's a frown. You need to remove the mask, because we are lights in a dark place. We're cities set on hills. We are to be purposefully seen deliberately viewed for the glory of God. We're the beacon that brings folks to Jesus. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill. We're the salt of the earth. And so it behooves us to live as the Lord God would have us to live. So we are aliens alongside the house, and we are strangers who really, we're from another land. And remember, the word of God lets us know that our citizenship is in heaven. So we're down here. That means we're in a foreign land, because our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. So in that case, we are aliens and strange. Then the title again is Achieving an Alien Mentality. In other words, it's to develop a mindset like that of an alien. And that takes that takes some doing, because of the fact that that we've been so flooded and inundated with the mindset of this world through print media, through broadcast media, through social media. You know, we're just being bombarded with how we're to think, that we don't realize that we're being sort of indoctrinated on the sneak tip, you know, into thinking that way and not shaking ourselves out of the doldrums. Wait a minute, that's not what the word of God says. Wait a minute, that's not the word. I shouldn't be thinking that way. We just kind of just, you know, an example I've been using was how black folk think about President Trump. You know, we just all, it's like all black folk just thinking one way about him. And where is somebody that's saying the Temptations, hey, Bukaluka, can you hear me talking to you? Hey, wake up out of that. What does the word of God says about this situation? Well, God is still in control. God is still sovereign. Jesus is still Lord. President Trump didn't become Christ Jesus. President Trump is not God. God is still all-powerful, almighty, still sovereign. None of that changed when President Trump came in office. And President Trump arriving in the office 2 years ago didn't surprise God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. President Trump, according to God's plan, is right where he's supposed to be. Amen. Now, folks don't like to hear that, but God is still in control.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. We need to think like that. We need to think, well, what does the word of God say? What should I do then about the situation? Instead of just thinking and having the same attitude that the world has, what ought to be my attitude? Well, you ought to pray for it. Because as a Christian, we ought to be praying. Well, what should we pray? We need to pray for his salvation. Amen. Lord God, save this man.
Yes.
And if his wife not say, save her.
Yes.
That's what you do.
Amen.
Be constructive with your words.
Yes.
Let him still honor and glorify God.
Yes, Lord.
And realize, whether we want to or not, that President Trump, just like every other human being ever, who has ever come into existence, is made in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
Whether we like that or not, the word of God says that, because it says that in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a Christian, we're aliens. Then we remember our mindset is governed by the word of God.
Amen.
And not social media.
Amen.
Not news reports, but by the word of God.
Amen.
And so we are in the midst of learning how to think like a Christian. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. We need to change our thinking, our pattern of thinking, because that's going to change your pattern of speech, because thinking governs the speech. It's going to change our pattern of action or doing, because thinking governs what we do. So we need to go to the root of things and change how we think. And so we're teaching here, and we're dwelling on this, landing on this for a while, to think like a Christian. Think biblically. Think like a Christian means to think biblically. Think biblically means to line your thoughts up with the word of God.
Yes,
to interpret the happenings and the circumstances going on in this world through the word of God. And that takes time. That takes practice. That takes deliberate practice. That takes the Holy Spirit guiding and counseling us. Because we're so used to just off the top thinking and speaking. We're used to blurts, just blurting things out. He said, be slow to speak, quick to hear. But we're just the opposite. We're quick to speak and slow to hear. But sometimes folk got to tell us 10 times, hey, that's not what I said. Oh, you didn't say that? You done said 20 paragraphs concerning what you thought you heard, and that was all wrong. And finally, when they got you out of your trance, I said, man, I ain't even say that. That's not what I said. Oh, my bad. Repeat that then. Go ahead, repeat. We're too fast. Slow down. This teaching is to slow us down and begin to practice so that we develop the habit of being quick to hear and slow to speak.
Yes.
Because quick to hear and slow to speak, what that does is allow you to think first. But then again, biblical thinking can only happen with proper information.
Amen.
Got to be informed. After all, we all have information that's been given to us, grandma, auntie, cousin, society, the streets, whatever. We've been informed, but thing is, has it been biblical information? And what's been built in our minds that's not biblical needs to be renovated. And that's Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing and renovation of our minds. So having said that, let's go back over to 1 Peter. No, let's go to Philippians 2 first. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read that, then 1 Peter chapter 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude. The word attitude there means to have understanding, to be wise, to think, to direct one's mind to a thing. Attitude involves thinking, deliberate thinking, intention. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a phenomenal statement because distinct that we can have the same attitude as Jesus had. That's a phenomenal verse right there. The attitude Jesus had, we can have. And that ought to convict some of us, because if our attitude is not, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, then if our attitude, our understanding, how we feel and think, that which we're directing our mind towards, we should ask ourselves, would Jesus be thinking these thoughts, feeling this way? If we're to have the same attitude in ourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, then we would ask, would this attitude be in Christ Jesus? And believe me, the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you will let you know, no way, no way, no way. Need to stop thinking that. I was telling a young man on Friday, you know, that which sits in the mind, talking about thoughts. In other words, thoughts which are allowed to linger in the mind. Proverb, I'm going to use the word, warns that eventually it's going to affect what you do and what you say. Now, we're not talking about a passing thought, a thought that comes into the mind and you eject it out of the mind, which you have the power to do by Holy Spirit. But let's say you don't do your due diligence and eject that thought out of your mind. Maybe it's one of hatred, maybe it's one of lust, maybe it's one of envy, jealousy, whatever it may be. If it's allowed to sit in the mind, eventually it's going to cause you to act on it. We're always fighting our thoughts. That's a constant battle. Some say we speak, you know, 20, 25,000 words a day. Remember, not one word is spoken at first unless it's preceded by a thought. Your mouth does not work independently of your brain. Although on comedy shows and things like that, you know, I said it before I knew it, you know, that's impossible. You thought that first. So if you're speaking 20, 25,000 words, then you've had at least that many thoughts. Because maybe every thought you didn't speak. If it's 20, 25,000 words, you got at least 30, 35,000, 40,000 thoughts per day, every day. I'm trying to bring some clarity to how dangerous unchecked, unguarded, unpatrolled thoughts, what it can do. It's not a light thing to just think anything, anytime, anyway, and think it's okay, because nobody human can hear or see your thoughts. And so we think we're okay. But realize God is carefully recording every single thought that you think every single day.
Amen.
If you're wondering why you're feeling a certain way, maybe this is not the way you normally feel about a situation. Maybe here you're going to get an answer. Maybe because you're thinking on something too long. It's now affecting your spirit. It's affecting your attitude. It's affecting your emotional and mental state. Because you're dwelling on it too long. Excuse my charismatic soul, but I think that's a word for somebody in here. You've been thinking on it too long, and it's affecting you. And your thinking about it is not going to change anything.
No, it's not.
Because your thoughts aren't God. So release yourself from that. Free yourself up from that. Let that go. Whether you were wronged or whatever it was. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'll take care of that. In the meantime, you do what you're supposed to do. Pray for your enemies. That person is your enemy? Jesus said, pray for them. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. That's the mindset of an alien. See, that's alien. That's foreign. You tell somebody in the house, sort of say, someone who's unsaved, man, I'm going to pray for my enemy. That's, man, you crazy. I'm going to kill my enemy. That, you a weirdo. Yes, in Jesus' name. Own your weirdness. Yes, get a t-shirt. I'm weird. Yes, I'm an alien. I think differently than you do. I'm a black man, a black pastor telling the congregation, pray for President Trump. Yeah. That's weird. Because there's so much on the other side.
Amen.
But when he says, have this attitude in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 13. We stopped here last time. And this is what we're doing. 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. That's exactly what we're doing. King James has, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1, 13. Gird up the loins. We talked about that last time. It's the taking of one's garments and tucking them into their belt so that their legs are free to move quickly. Mm-hmm. So to gird up the loins of your mind is to prepare your minds for action. And there's a lot of action going on. As we said, with those thoughts coming in every single day, that's a lot of action going on inside of here. We need to be prepared for all of that. And it takes training and discipline to do that. I rarely hear a sermon like this, if ever, on thinking. We're intellectual beings, and we don't tend to understand it. I'm not talking about Harvard and Yale. You know, God still gave us intellect. And as Christians, we are to use our intellect. You are to discriminate, which means to discern, which means to decide that this is good and this is bad. This is godly, this is ungodly. This is scriptural. This is not scriptural. Amen. We're to do that all the time. That's called judging.
Amen.
That's the proper use of judging.
Yeah.
The world has turned judging into something else. Oh, don't judge, don't judge. No, if you're homosexual, disobeying the word of God, that is a sin. The word of God says that. That's not judging. Amen. God has already judged that act. Amen. To be an abomination. If I repeat what the verdict is already, then that's exactly what we do. They got quiet, I know, because most folks get scared. They don't pass and get scared to call homosexual a sin, abortion, murder, even in the case of rape and incest. Let me just go ahead. You know, you may not ever come back here, but that's okay. At least you've heard the truth. Too many pastors wimping out because they're scared of what society is going to say toward them. What I just said would be considered hate speech. Even though I'm repeating exactly what God is saying. Exactly what God is saying. I didn't say that, God did.
Amen.
But if I dare repeat it, I'm supposed to be scared to look out and, no. Nope, not here. You're going to speak the truth.
Amen.
The Bible says that God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
The only thing that's going to go forth is that we speak what God says.
Amen.
There is no such thing as gay.
Amen.
Biblically speaking, there is no such a thing as gay, being gay.
Amen.
Biblically speaking, I know I got to say it about 10 more times. Because you're not still not hearing. You're just looking mad at me. But there is no such a thing as gay. Do you understand what gay is? Definition of gay, as far as the world, as far as Satan is concerned, means that you were born that way. Nobody is born a homosexual. Biblically speaking, homosexuality is an act. Once you commit that act, you are a homosexual. It's not about a feeling and an attraction. Those are temptations. Yes, I'm not saying that folks aren't tempted toward the same sex. That's a temptation that you ought to fight and overcome. But as far as using that as an excuse, I'm born gay, that's not scriptural or biblical. There is no such a thing as being gay. Simple, simple teaching, simple. When do you become a murderer? After you murder. When you become a thief? After you steal. When you become a homosexual, after you commit the act, it's a sin just like all the others. You can't say, I'm born a murderer. I was born a murderer. I was born a drunk. I was born a child pedophile. No. When you commit those acts, that's when that happens. That's why there's no such a thing as same-sex marriage. Biblically speaking, marriage, biblically speaking, is only between a man and a woman. Biblically speaking, sex is only mentioned in the context of marriage. Only. Sex is only for marriage. Regardless of what Hollywood has done with it. Sex outside of marriage, between two folks who are not married, is called fornication. Society has softened it and called it premarital sex. Make it sound a little nicer. Sex, one is married, the other isn't. It's called adultery. They call it an extramarital affair. Sex between a child and an adult is called pedophiles. It's like you're a pedophile. Not intergenerational intimacy. You know that's an actual name by the American Psychologists Association. They rename sexual child abuse intergenerational intimacy. Y'all know this world crazy. Why you want any parts of this? And that's true, by the way. Intergenerational intimacy. Why, as a Christian, would you defend anything they talking about? I don't care what color they are or you are. You are first, because something else is going to enter the church. You are first a Christian, second you're black.
Amen.
You're first a Christian, second you're black.
Amen.
First a Christian. Second, black.
Amen.
That's why you're an A-N first. And as a black person, we know that double. That should help us understand that more. Mm-hmm. But you're first a Christian. Your first duty is to bring God glory. And not black people glory or white people glory, but God glory.
Amen.
You think a speech like this is going to be somebody that hear this over at the Urban League or the NAACP says, oh, we want to hurry up and get him over. No. First Christian, second black. God's word is first. That's why you speak hard things. Like what I just did. Talking with the dean of students at a particular school, and he said, even in the case of rape and abortion, I said, do you realize that just having sex, excuse me, doesn't produce a baby? Just that? It's that and God choosing to give life at that time. So once I got him into that thing, I said, you know, just the act doesn't produce a baby. It's that plus God and his sovereign will choosing to allow the egg to be fertilized. Yeah. So I said, well, since God allowed the egg to be fertilized during this rape or abortion, then God has a purpose for that child. And I asked the dean, cannot God still use that child for his glory?
Amen.
Do you mean you got to automatically kill it because it reminds you of the situation? How about you going to God and say, Lord, help me get through this and let this child live rather than committing murder? God can use anybody.
Amen.
And he has used several people who have been born in rape or abortion. He's used them out here. Rape or incest. He's used them.
Absolutely.
It's the power of God. It ain't about you or me. It's not our status, our good looks, our age, or this, that, and the other. It's about the power of God going forward. I use who I want to use. I'm doing this for my sake, saith the Lord.
Amen.
We need to stop being soft with the word of God. We just letting society just punk us out. We really are. We get quiet in the office, around the water cooler, you know, taking your coffee break, we quiet, or we just join in so we don't stand out and look weird. I dare you to speak the truth, especially on these hot button topics. I dare you. See if God show up and show out in your life in a mighty way. All that is alien talk. That last 10 minutes, that's alien talk. That's foreign talk. And that's sad because it's foreign even in the churches.
Yes.
You got pastors backing up saying, well, who taught against homosexuality for 20 years, they're backing up now. Say, well, you know, God is, you know, well, you know. That ought to be a sign to anybody, everybody sitting in that congregation. If he's going to just flip on that, then what else is going to flip on? I'm gone. I'm out of here. Because Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord. I change not. That's what God says.
Amen.
He said, I'm a man. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. I cannot lie.
Amen.
So once God says it, it is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If it was settled back then just because of the sexual revolution in the 60s,
yeah.
And all that has come since then doesn't make the word of God unsettled.
Amen.
It's still settled. Word of life. It's
Amen.
Still settled.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Speak the truth, saints. Speak the truth.
Amen.
At all costs.
Yes. Yes.
You lose your job, you lose your job. So be it. Lose your friends, lose them. Jesus was saying there's going to be some problems, even in your house. Mother and the daughter, father and the son, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. foes, enemies will be theirs of your own household. Jesus said that. That means because you chose Jesus and they didn't, conflict. You have the nature of God in you. They have the nature of Satan in them. Conflict. There's going to be conflict. I'm telling you, embrace the conflict, y'all. Embrace it. Don't let it intimidate you so that you retreat from the word of God and into your own comfort, and thereby bringing God dishonor and no glory. How about sacrifice your comfort rather than his glory? Amen. Sacrifice your comfort for his glory. Because if they let me go from this job because I'm speaking the truth and I'm in God's will, then God, I know you got me. That's where faith comes in. I'm not going to make this job my Lord over my Lord. I'm not going to make this money my Lord over my Lord. I'm not going to make my status that I'm enjoying among certain people Lord over my Lord. That's alien thinking. And so we must prepare, verse 13, our minds for action. We must gird up. And again, for those who were here last week, bear with me. Remember, back in the day, everybody wore what we would call a dress. Tunics, robes. Everyone wore robes back then, male and female. And the robes usually came down to around the ankle area. They were long robes. Well, if somebody needed to move quickly in that time, it had to take the bottom of their robes and pull them up and fold them into their sash, what we call a belt, and do that all the way around so that the legs would then be free. So what they're doing is removing all impediments, all hindrances out of their way so that they can then move freely and quickly. So you hear that. Now notice we're going to now shift that over into the mind. Okay? Now that's the physical act of doing that. Taking a physical robe, sticking it into a physical shaft, freeing up your physical legs to move physically. In our mind, what we're doing is we're taking all the impediments and hindrances that will cause us to think and act like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're removing them out of the way so that our minds and are prepared to be led, influenced, dominated, and controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and we can then think freely concerning the things of God. But before that happens, there must be a gathering up, a preparing of the mind for that. And that's what the Lord is doing to us and for us today. He's preparing our mind for action. He's removing out of the way the things that would impede the Holy Spirit's progress in our intellect. Because we've got a lot of impediments there. There are a lot of hindrances and blockages that's been placed in there by the world.
Amen.
That's a monstrous work the Lord has to do. Because there's a lot to be done. We want to free our mind for the act of connecting to the Holy Spirit, using our mental faculties for the most efficient manner possible. Because after all, we have the mind of Christ. And we said last time that this is a Greek word, eros. The word eros means it's a tense in the Greek that lets us know that this is a past tense, once and for all action. So you are to do this, and you do it once and say, Lord, here you go. Here's my mind. Clear it up. Help me stay on the right path. Thinking. Because these 25, 35, 40,000 thoughts I'm about to think this day, I need you.
Amen.
That's a daunting task to try to deal with all that by yourself.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, I thank you. You're my mind police. You're my mind security system.
Yes, Lord.
And when a thought comes in, you know, you a male, you're looking at a girl in the wrong way, send the Holy Spirit on that thought. Let him know, ching, ching.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's let the Holy Spirit handcuff that thought and lead it out of your mind. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit alarm will go up, and you think you're wrong, dude. You're looking too long. That's not gonna work out. And the Holy Spirit say, "Yep, get that thought out of there." And the easy thing to do, just start quoting a verse. You quote your verse, your thoughts got to stop because now your thought is thinking about the verse you just quoted. Just quote a verse and switch your thoughts just instantly, just like that. This is a real practical way. The Lord is my shepherd. It says in Lord. If you use the Lord in the wrong way, you say Lord, but not the right way. Lord, have mercy. Not saying the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus, keep me near the cross. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a daily struggle. A person who you can't stand walks into the room, thoughts gonna go south. Look at that old so-and-so. Look at her shoes ugly. Everything. Wow, you talking about her shoes. Good night. Jesus, keep me near the cross. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm not thinking right. And talk to the Lord and be real with him. Lord, I ain't thinking right. Help me to pray for this girl. I don't like it. You did me wrong, but you know what? They did you wrong too. And you forgave. Help me to forgive.
Yeah.
See, that's a good prayer. Take your mind off of it immediately. But again, this is a fight. It's a daily fight. It's all day, every day fight. To achieve an alien mentality is just that. It's an achievement. It's something that's a process that you achieve with the help of the Holy Spirit, and you can never get it on your own. Meaning an alien, you will never achieve that on your own, on our own, in our own strength. That'll never happen. And so we must continue to fight. Hold on 1 second. Look at the 14th verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says, as obedient children, or children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. We looked at the word fashion, and to fashion is, in the Greek text, refers to the act of assuming an outward appearance, patterned after some certain thing, an appearance or expression which does not come from and is not representative of one's inmost and true nature. Translation: it means to look like the world when in actuality you belong to God. That's the summation of it. It's to outwardly look and sound like the world, and that's what a lot of Christians are doing, because they don't want to be singled out and made fun of and laughed at and thought about as being weird. So outwardly we just look just like the world, meaning we talk like them, we act like them, which we are trying to avoid detection as a Christian. That's a problem. So he's saying here, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. In other words, when you were not saved, this is how you look. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that expression which does not come from and is not representative of your inmost and true nature, which is the nature of God. When your insides don't match your outsides, that's a problem. That means that thinking is wrong. Because inwardly, because it's not matching outwardly, something is, there's a disconnect mentally.
Amen.
Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that means something went south here, and we're starting to look just like we used to. And he says, not fashion yourselves according to that. And we did the, look, it says, in your ignorance. Why do we do that? Here we are talking about the mind again. He says, in your ignorance, which is not to know, through lack of information or intelligence. Not to know. We did a lot of things ignorantly, which is a lack of information or intelligence. That's what we here believe in, a teaching ministry to teach you, to help you understand. You know, I'm not for performance. I'm not for the, you know, the hack or whatever they call it. I call it bronchitis. The wheezing and all that, that's for show. That really is. How much do you actually learn that way? You can get excited that way. You can get excited, but actual learning. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You ought to feed on the word of God. Jeremiah said, your words, I found them and I ate them and they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Did he literally find a scroll with ink and parchment and stuck it in his mouth and swallowed it? No. But he ate it how? He ate it mentally. He ate it emotionally. He ate it from his heart. He took the word in like you're doing now, hopefully. You're taking it in. This is eating right now. Now what I hope happens is that you allow it to ingest. That's what you're doing now. And then let it digest. Digestion brings about the removal of nutrients that can help the body. Well, I'm hoping, spiritually speaking, that you digest this and remove the nutrients from the word of God that can help your soul and spirit and actually change your way of thinking. Look at verse 14 again. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. He said, verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Wow. But as he who has called you is holy. On the riddle, that's really a noun. So as he who is called you is the Holy One. What has God called his children to do, to be? It's holy. That's not a real attractive word, I guess. Holiness, we kind of got it as something made that belongs to God and really not us. And what is this holiness thing? Is a holy, like a holy roller? Back in the day, we used to call people holy rollers. And, you know, is it a goody two shoes? You know, what is holiness? Well, holiness, very simply put, again, and again, I know some of you all are ice Eskimos, but if you don't know, the word of the Old Testament was translated in Hebrew, and the New Testament is in Greek. And so if you get to a Greek dictionary and look up the word holiness, then you'll get clarity as to what it is, rather than all these opinions about what holiness is. Holiness simply is to be other than, to be different, to be separate, to be distinct. So when you live a life that is holy, you're living a life that's separated from the things of this world and separated unto God. Meaning that what you think, speak, and do, you're trying to every single day, trying to line up your thoughts, your words, and your actions with the word of God, with his commands. That's what God is calling us to do. He says, you're to be holy because I'm the Holy One, have called you to be that. That's an everyday effort. That's an all-day effort. to be holy as he is holy. Now, if you go back to verse 13, look what it says here. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Notice the call to be holy, this is crucial, begins with the mind. Did you see that? In verse 13, it says, prepare your minds for action. Then in verse 14, he says, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the outer. Then verse 15, but as he who has called you is holy, also be holy in all your conduct. All of that began with the mind in verse 13. That's why it's so crucial to have your thinking together, to have your mind prepared for action. Because you get your mind right and it's in line with the word of God, then you're going to be able to not appear like the world, but actually be as who God has called you to be. Let your inside come out on the outside in verse 14. And then in verse 15, that's going to lead you down a life of holiness because your mind has been prepared for action. This is a daily struggle and a daily fight. A daily struggle and a daily fight. Apostle Paul said it best. He says to fight the good fight of faith. It is a good fight, but it is a fight. The key word in that word, verse is agonizomai. Is a word for fight. Meaning to agonize. Excuse me for those who heard the example many, many times, but this is a person who is in the ring, because back then they had their wrestling, their fights were not like ours. You lose, you die. So when you ain't going into an arena, you could get your eyes gouged out. There were no rules in there. Can you imagine going in there knowing that you could die? Then what kind of effort are you going to put forth? The hardest effort you ever going to. That's what that word fight means. Every day is supposed to be with that kind of zeal. Not like, oh, that ain't, you know, it's okay. That's one of the worst things. Oh, that's okay if I do a little something here. If I think that a little too long, that's all right. Ain't no real big deal. The preacher's a little oversensitive, you know. He's a little hyped up. Need to relax a little bit. It don't take all that. I'm out about that one. Oh, it don't take all that. He's the most subtle beast of the field. Because as he's lying to you, and sure he is lying to you, when he tell you don't take all that, ain't no big deal, steadily what's happening, that little thing is growing. It does take all that. And it is a big deal. Don't ever let the devil tell you that. Be hyper in your holiness. Be hypersensitive to your thoughts. Considering you may be thinking 30,000 of them every single day. Amen. Be hypersensitive. Be overly cautious. Verse 16 again as we close. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Why are we to be holy? Because he is holy. Why is that? Because we're his representatives. We are his children. We possess his nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. And therefore, he's calling us to holiness. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for encouraging us and keeping it real concerning achieving an alien mentality. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. But Father God, if we're diligent, I thank you that we can have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's good news. That's a command. And every command that you give us, we can follow. So that's great. That's a lot of hope for me. And I hope the congregation hears the hope in that. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, he wouldn't tell you that if it couldn't be in you like it was in Jesus. But since you said it could be in us like it, We're praying then. Develop this attitude in us as it was in Christ Jesus. Because he certainly had an alien mentality. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all of the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.